What do people say about you in your neighborhood, at the job, where you play, wherever you go? How do they know who you are? Do they know you're a Christian? What's your behavior like? Timothy had a great testimony. Man, I want my kids to be Timothy's. I want my grandkids to be Timothy's. Like Paul, I want to teach them the Word of God. I want to see their fruit in their lives as they grow up.
Welcome to Somebody Loves You Radio, the Bible teaching ministry of Raul Reese in Diamond Bar, California. Raul and his wife Sharon have raised three sons who all love the Lord, and now they're active role models of faith for their grandkids. If you'd like to get inspiration to create a strong spiritual legacy for your family, visit SomebodyLovesYou.com. Or to get a free DVD of Raul's story, call 800-634-9165. Today's lesson from Raul continues our series in Acts with encouragement from the ministry of Paul. As you consider Paul's consistent, active witness and his commitment to mentoring other disciples, you'll be challenged to evaluate how you're allowing God to work through you to influence others. In today's lesson, Raul will give us the inspiration to follow the Lord wherever He leads as we choose to obey no matter the personal cost. Here's Raul Reese now in Acts chapter 16.
We're looking here because the background given to us is the book of Philippians. The book of Philippians, the background to chapter 16. And for the Apostle Paul, the church at Antioch was not a parking lot. It was a launching pad. From there, they could take the gospel everywhere. He could never settle down to a comfortable ministry anywhere. As long as the doors were open to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, how about you? How about me? How about those doors that are open? People are lost. People need Jesus. Your neighbors, those that you shop with, down at the laundromat, down at the picnic bench, wherever it is, man, there are people that are not saved. We got to be sensitive by the Holy Spirit. Who are we going to tell Jesus about today? What are we going to say to them? Paul the Apostle had that kind of heart. And here Paul, his second missionary journey. And we have not only an excellent opportunity here to observe how the Holy Spirit moves in the life of Paul, in the life of Luke. This is the first time Luke will be seen. From now on, Luke will be in every chapter. To me, it's been so awesome to see Luke because, you know, he uses the word we, Paul, and me. He never uses Luke, never. But he puts himself as we, me, and Paul. Let's look at verses 1 to 3. Faithful of making disciples. Paul here is leaving his hometown now, which is Tarsus, and he's coming through Cilicia, the gates of Cilicia, to pass about 80 miles now where he's coming. He says, and then he came to Derbe and Lystra. And behold, a certain disciple was there named Timothy. Now this is Timothy, the one that will become also his disciple. He's young, and he talks a lot about him in the New Testament, especially in his epistles. But Timothy had a Greek father and he had a Jewish mother, which is cool. You'll see in a moment here. And his dad was dead now, but his mom was alive. His grandmother and his mom led him to the Lord and taught him about the Lord. I love that. A grandmother and a mother. And here now is a real story of a faithful disciple. A faithful disciple, the making of a true disciple of Jesus Christ, Timothy. Look what it says. He says, there was a named Timothy, the son of a certain Jewish woman who believed. She was a believer. But his father was a Greek and he was dead already. He had been saved under Paul's ministry, Timothy. Let me read a couple things I wrote down. His character, he was a devout child of God, 2 Timothy 3:15. Faithful in the service to God, Philippians 2:22. Beloved of Paul, 1 Timothy 1, 12 and 18. And then urge to remain faithful, 1 Timothy 6, 20, 20. I love that. Remain faithful, Timothy. Timothy, I'm like your father. You're like my son. Make sure, man, you stay straight. I mean, Timothy was such an incredible young man that he had an infirmity, and Paul, man, helped him. And you figure Timothy was going to be not only like a son, but he was going to take the gospel. He was going to give the gospel of Jesus Christ to different people. His name means honored of God. Honored of God. His name is in six epistles. He's mentioned Timothy's name. He goes on to say verse 2, and he, Timothy, was well spoken of by the brethren who were in Lystra and Iconium. Now, what is your testimony? Timothy had a great testimony. What do people say about you in your neighborhood, at the job, where you play, wherever you go? How do they know who you are? Do they know you're a Christian? What's your behavior like when they see you? What kind of a conversation do you carry? Dirty jokes? Cursing? Things you shouldn't be saying to people, or people should be hearing from your lips. Timothy had a great testimony. Man, I want my kids to be Timothy's. I want my grandkids to be Timothy's. That me, as like Paul, I want to teach them the word of God. I want to see their fruit in their lives as they grow up. Verse 3. And Paul wanted to have Timothy go with him. And he took him and circumcised him. Remember, his father was a Gentile. His mother was a Jew, but he never been circumcised. In order to be a Jew, you had to be circumcised even to the present time. And Paul wanted him to go with him, and he took him to circumcise him because of the Jews who were in the region, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. And then check this out, verse 4. And as they went through the cities, notice, they deliver to them the decree or the opinions of judgments to keep, which they determined by the apostles and elders at Jerusalem. They're on a missionary tour. Verse 5, look what he says. So the churches were strengthened. Notice, why was he going around strengthening the churches with who? With the gospel. Look, so the churches were strengthened in their faith and increased in numbers. The church was growing daily. People were getting saved every day, and they were filtering into a church. Those days, they didn't have churches like ours. They met in homes, or they went out to the synagogue. But here he says what? They were strengthened. Paul went around strengthening these people in their faith, and increase in numbers daily. They keep increasing and increasing and increasing in their missionary work. And then you notice here in verse 6 through 11 here, we have that forbidden area here. And now when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. I love how the Lord works. Look, there are times the Holy Spirit says, don't do it. You don't have to be a preacher or a teacher. It's for every Christian here. We better listen to the Holy Spirit when he says, don't do it. If you do, you're going to get hurt. Look what he says. He says they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. Verse 7. And after they had come to Mysia, they tried to go to Bithynia again, but the Spirit did not permit them to go there. There's been times the Holy Spirit has spoken to me and says, don't do that or don't go there. We need to be careful to listen. And Paul was very sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Luke became very sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Timothy became very sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And then verse 8, he says, so passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. So here he is, and there's a vision at night. And what does he see? He sees this man saying, Paul, come over here. We need you over here. Imagine that. What? Come over here. We need you over here. I've never had a vision like that. But I've had spoke to me, say, go over there. He goes on. He said, a man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, come over, Macedonia, and help us. I love that. The Lord showing Paul about the men calling him to come over because they need help. He saw this man saying, come over to us, men. We need you. And then he says in verse 10, and after he, Paul, has seen the vision immediately. Notice, immediately. We, this is the first time you guys underline it, me and Paul. The first we in the passage here in Acts. So he says, and after he had seen a vision immediately, we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. Notice what he says, the importance of preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the message. And then verse 11, he says, and therefore, because of this, notice, we'll see a conversion here. In sailing from Troas, we ran straight course to Samothrace. And the next day he came to Neapolis. And then he says this. And from there to Philippi, notice, the city. And on the Sabbath day, we went out of the city to the riverside. And where prayer was customary made. And we sat down and spoke to the women who met there. And now a certain woman named Lydia heard us. And she was a seller of purple. That's her, a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira. Now, when you go home, read the seven churches, and the church of Thyatira is in chapter 3 of the book of Revelation. Thyatira's message, man, it's heavy when you read it. But here is a famous place where it was known for its purple dye, Thyatira. He says, who worship God. The Lord opened to her and listened to the things spoken by Paul. So here is the Lord Jesus Christ setting up, opening her heart to hear the message that Paul had to give to her. Did you know God does that with you too? Prepares people to hear the message you have in giving them the message of Jesus Christ. God wants us to do that. Verse 15, he says, and when she and her household, her whole family were baptized, she begged Luke and Paul, us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay. Imagine. She saw the integrity Paul had. She had been baptized by Paul and Luke. She saw they were godly men. I mean, who would invite someone to their home not knowing them? And she says, why don't you come and stay in my home? I want you to stay. Listen. So she persuaded him. He didn't want to stay, but she persuaded us. And now it happened, verse again 16. As we went to prayer, the key, that a certain slave girl possessed with the spirit of divination met us, who brought her masters much profit for fortune telling. These guys were using this woman that was demon possessed as a fortune teller. And what's incredible is the way God opens the doors and takes Paul as he has ministry going here to this woman down by the river. Now he's going up this way. And here's a girl that is demon possessed. And they have a lot of money they're making using her to make money by using the devil. He goes on again. And it happened that we went into prayer. A certain girl, slave girl possessed with a spirit, divination met us. It says, who brought her masters much profit and fortune telling. And the girl followed Paul. Now check this out. She is following behind Paul and us. And cried out saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God who proclaim to us the way of salvation. She's not lying. She's speaking the truth. Now check this out. Even though she's speaking the truth, she does not accept the truth. Remember that. This young girl was being used by the demons to make money for these guys. And then she did many days, and but Paul greatly annoyed, turned to her. He got so tired of following them and saying things. He turns around and he says, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out that very hour. Boom, just like that. Paul says, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. He came out immediately that very hour. And then, but when her master saw that, their hope of prophets was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace. Notice to the authorities, they were really mad. And now they took them to be tried. And as they brought them to the magistrates and said, these men being Jews exceedingly trouble our city and teach customs which are not lawful for us, being Romans, Roman law, to receive of a certain. Now check this out. Paul could have said, I'm a Roman, but he didn't. I'll tell you why in a second. He didn't say that. Then the multitude got up together against them, and the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. As a Roman, he would have never got beaten. He was a Roman citizen. But God had this plan. God used this little girl that was demon-possessed to deliver from demonology, to have these guys come out, arrest the disciples, to put them in, tried, beaten, and put in jail because there was someone in jail in his family that needed Jesus. They could have been bitter upon those guys. What was going to happen? But they didn't. Let's read. This is so cool. And then the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates tore out their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. He says, and when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanded the jailer to keep them securely. Now, the jailer was responsible. If anybody would ever escape the jail, it would be his life. He would pay with his life. Having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison. He wanted to make sure. And fastened their feet in stocks. Remember how the English, they would put your neck on stocks and your hands and your feet? Well, here they are. And check this out. This is so cool. Verse 25. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. How can you do that? Singing, praying, Lord, we love you. You're so awesome. Bleeding, their backs are bleeding, man. And all. You could have been, you know, God, I curse you. Why did you do this to me? I hate you. Not them. They don't even realize why this has happened yet. And praying, singing hymns to God. And the prisoners were listening to them. Check this out. What a witness to the prisoners. How can they be singing and notice, and praying when they have been beaten? How can you do that? You can only do that in Jesus Christ. Only in Jesus. When he speaks to your hearts. When he tells you what he's going to do with your life. And we see that Paul here, his men is in a beautiful situation. Verse 26. And suddenly there was a great earthquake now. Immediately all the doors were open and everyone's chains were loosed. All of a sudden, man, everybody's free. Whoa. They can escape. And the keeper of the prison, awakening from his sleep, seeing the prison door open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and it's about to commit suicide. It's his life, so he might as well kill myself. And all of a sudden, look what it says again. Verse 28, but Paul called with a loud voice saying, don't do yourself any harm. We are still here. Hey, don't, we haven't gone anywhere. They could have. But Paul's under perfect God's will. Notice that. We are all still here. In control. God is in control. 29. And then he called for a light. It's dark. He called for a light. He ran in and fell down trembling before Paul. So imagine, here is the one guy that's supposed to be taking care of the boss. And all of a sudden, when he comes through, he takes a torch and he runs over to Paul. He gets on his knees next to them. And check this out, verse 30. And he brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? I love that. Underline that, memorize that. What must I do to be saved? Who do you ever hear do that? Hey, listen. People can still do that today. Be open to the Holy Spirit, something that God is doing in your life and through your life so that people can say, what do I have to do to be saved? Beautiful, beautiful question. The source of salvation, God's grace, God's love, God's mercy, Christ alone, the cross of Jesus Christ, all these things for the Christ, what? For salvation. In verse 31, so they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your whole family. Imagine that, faith, the answer. Now 32, I love this. And then they spoke the word of the Lord to him. Notice they share the word of God with him. And to all who were in his house, the family. Amen. He took them home out of the jail, took them all home. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes. Wow. Can you believe that? He takes them and he begins to clean them up. And probably the whole time, man, I am so sorry, man, this happened to you guys. And Paul saying, don't worry about it. Look what's happened. You accepted Christ. Look at your family. Not complaining, not murmuring. And he took them the same hour by night, washed their stripes, and immediately he and all his family were baptized. And now when he had brought them into his house, he says, he set food before. Can you imagine? He takes him, he cleans them up, he gives them to eat, and then he's going to take them back to jail. And notice, and he set food before them, and he rejoiced having believed in God with all his household. All his household. I love it. All his family was saved. Lord, save every family here, Lord Jesus. Please, Lord. Save every family, Lord. And when it was day, the magistrates sent the officers saying, let these guys go. And so the keeper of the prison reported these words to Paul, saying, the magistrates have sent to let you go. Now, therefore, depart and go in peace. And they said, now, you can leave now. But Paul said to them, they have beaten us openly, uncondemned Romans. Notice, Romans, I am a Roman. And have thrown us into prison, and not that they put us out securely. No way. Let them come themselves and throw me out. Paul says, no way, man. They're going to throw me out. They're going to know what they did was wrong. And how many times, like Paul, we feel like Paul, man, people have done me wrong. People have done me wrong. Verse 38. And the officers told these words to the magistrates, and they were afraid. Listen, when they heard that Paul was a Roman, they were dealing with Romans. And then they came and they pleaded with them and brought them out and asked them to depart from the city. You guys, may the Lord bless you. God bless you. Leave the city. Paul could have done so much at this city, but he didn't do to bring any accusation against anybody. He went ahead, packed his bags, and he departed. Verse 40. And so they went out of the prison, entered the house of Lydia. And when they had seen the brethren, they encouraged them and departed. Encouraging is a great tool. Encouraging one another in the Lord.
The account of Paul and Silas singing in prison provides a powerful picture of how God can use even the hardest times of our life for His glory. You're listening to Somebody Loves You Radio with Raul Reese. If you'd like to review today's lesson, we'll send you an unedited copy for a gift of $5 or more. Our phone number is 800-634-9165. When you contact us, ask for Raul's teaching from Acts chapter 16. We'd like to encourage you with a resource that further explores how the Lord can work through you when you fully surrender to His will. Titled Discipleship, this 3-message audio pack from Raul will guide you in making the daily commitment to follow Christ in absolute obedience to His perfect plan for your life. You'll see that when you give all that you have and all that you are to the Lord, He'll pour out His richest blessings and greatest rewards. Contact us to purchase Raul's CD series titled Discipleship. We'll send you this audio pack for a gift of $17 or more. To place your order, visit us online at somebodylovesyou.com or call 800-634-9165. Our mailing address, if you'd like to order the resource by writing us, is Somebody Loves You Radio, Post Office Box 4440, Diamond Bar, California, 91765. We also have a new free resource we're very pleased to provide. Now you can visit Rawl's YouTube channel every Tuesday at noon West Coast time for Straight Talk, a Q&A program that will help you see current issues through the lens of Scripture. You won't want to miss out on this. And to help you keep all of our Somebody Loves You radio resources at your fingertips, be sure to download our app to your iPhone or Android. And for additional guidance from the Word of God, we invite you to access iTunes or Spotify and download free podcasts of Rawl's teaching. If there are additional ways that we can serve and support you in these difficult times, please let us know. We welcome your input as we prayerfully craft every broadcast to equip you with the life-giving truth of God's Word. And if we can pray for you, let us know how when you contact us. Somebody Loves You Radio is made possible through the continued partnership of listeners like you. Every contribution you make is tax-deductible, and your generous donations help keep us on the air. Be sure and join us again for the next Somebody Loves You Radio. We'll return to Acts for more encouragement to follow in Paul's selfless ministry. You'll see that when you allow the Holy Spirit to guide and empower you, God can work through you in mighty, miraculous ways. This program is sponsored by Somebody Loves You Radio in Diamond Bar, California.